What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Happy Thursday to you. You know the people involved. That's John Lopez. I'm Reginald Atitula Figgy Fig in here making it sound good. And you rolling with us. Appreciate you doing that here in the greatest city on the entirety of this planet, Houston, Texas. You can get involved with the program as you always can on the text line, 713-572-4610. And then also appreciation to the Mo Karam and Drew Lawyer live streams, both on the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610. And don't, never forget, Twitch is available to you. 610 Houston is how you get there. Lopez, how you feeling on a deadline day?
I am feeling air conditioned. That's got to be a new term, right? How you feeling? I'm feeling air conditioned, man.
Very air conditioned.
We need to put an over under on Lopez complaining about the heat.
You see it? He started out with a complaint.
It's called being honest.
You know what? Why don't you do the show from here going forward?
No, I like
this. Have Reggie out there. You do the show in
studio.
See,
here's the quandary. Here's the quandary.
Quandary, good word.
My favorite time of the year is going out to training camp. It's also hot. So why can't I have both?
Breaking news, it's hot.
Why can't I
Everybody
have both?
Everybody know it's hot outside, man. Yeah, that's part. Imagine how these players feel out there, man.
Oh, boy. I've seen the puddles on the chair. I know exactly how they feel. So I can have both. It's just called being honest. Love it. Favorite time of the year. It's hot. It's hot. By the way.
713-572-4610. Tell me if you want Lopez to keep his honesty to himself in this particular regard.
Don't be honest.
My mother would have slapped Lopez in the back of the head. Like, I know it's hot. Stop saying it's hot. I know it's hot.
Speaking of the Mo Karam Injury Law Firm Twitch and YouTube streams, is that a new look, Figgy? I haven't seen that look before.
Not really.
It's just a different rap that he has.
Yeah.
Tied in the front.
With
the bun on the top. If you go to those streams, you'll be able to see. To me, that's a new one, but that's just an observation.
Just a different rap. That's his way of saying, I like your rap. I don't feel like Lopez. You could just say, I like how you look today.
I like
this look.
I like it.
I appreciate
like
it, man.
Repping Jack Yates High School, too, man. How about that? Shout out to the Lions. Big fan of them, and their basketball coach, Greg Wise, is a great friend of mine. How am I feeling about on trade deadline day?
You got to say it like that.
Deadline. I can't do it like you.
You stopped halfway. You were started perfectly.
Deadline day.
There it is. Look at that. I'm proud of you.
I'm feeling like we need to say hello to the small ball Astros. That's how I'm feeling.
Oh, why do you say that?
Let me explain. I like what's happening, especially given if Carlos Correa is off the table, which, by the way, exactly two minutes ago, Chandler Rome reported that the Astros are still in discussions with the Twins regarding Carlos Correa. It seems it's a little bit of, not pipe dream, but a little bit long shot.
Did they tell Carlos Correa about this?
Yeah, because he was like, I don't know about this, man. Anyway,
What did he call it? He said that the conversations weren't serious. Mm-hmm. I think serious was the word that caught my attention.
Y'all ain't serious.
Yeah, this is unserious line of questioning.
Hey, that might be talking right to Jim Crane.
Yeah, maybe.
The contrast,
which is fair.
Man, ain't serious.
Because he's been on the other side of what we could easily look from the outside looking in at as unserious offers that Jim Crane has made to a number of free agents for the Astros.
What if this is a little bit of revenge?
Ew.
You know, it's a simple, basic human emotion. You know, hey Jim, remember when you wouldn't give me that contract?
Remember that $160 million that you was trying to offer him, and I ultimately got $200 million.
He got the no trade clause.
Yes,
he does.
Who's got the cards in their hands now, Big Jim? Who's got the cards in their hands?
How would
now?
That make you feel if he declined? If he said nope, I ain't going to the Astros.
Dude, it's crazy.
Man.
We wouldn't be at this point where they're having conversations, right, though, if they right. didn't, because of the no-trade clause, right. if they didn't have some idea that he'd be willing to waive the no-trade clause.
Right.
Especially
right.
when you get to the deadline, when you get to deadline day, yes, there's a lot of conversations happening. You can't use the resources and of the limited time mm-hmm. talking about dudes that you might not be able to actually
right.
have any chance at.
But if you somebody like Correa and you want to stick it to somebody.
Yeah. It's a human emotion. It's a basic human emotion.
Let me string them along.
So let me explain. Let me explain this to you guys. At least my feeling from where I'm sitting right here in air conditioning. The Astros officially now have acquired Ramon Urias.
Ooh, he put the sauce on. Shout out to Ramon. Way to come through, baby.
It's officially official.
Utility type guy.
Utility type guy. Good third baseman. He's played a lot of third base. Has good numbers there, you know, those Reggie Atitula numbers.
Oh, you want those?
Yeah.
You want some of those?
Yeah, he's good at third base.
Outs above average is a 3, which is in the 87th percentile. Mm-hmm. Now, Lopez, mm-hmm. you did a little bit of, you've learned some arithmetic, some general math things. 87th percentile is good, is it not?
That's high-ish.
Yeah. So, like, he is a good defender.
No, he's good.
But when you talk about the bat this year, 248 batting average, 688 OPS. Now, he hasn't finished the season below 700 OPS, but he currently is below that mark at this point. This is not the bat that comes to fix what's happening here. Mm-hmm. But I do think I like this acquisition on a small scale, which is mm-hmm. obviously what this move was.
Yeah.
Your two best pitchers remain ground ball guys. You moved one of your greatest Astros of all time off of his primary position late mm-hmm. in his career in order to help your defense on the infield. And the defense on the infield structurally has been weakened.
Right.
So this is a way to kind of strengthen that, especially as I know you have had a position that mm-hmm. you don't want Dubon as a primary second baseman because of his utility.
Third baseman.
No, primarily as a second baseman.
Want him I don't want him to play all the games there.
Exactly.
I want him to be able to move around. But I definitely don't want him to play more games at third base.
But that's because you want that flexibility.
Exactly, exactly.
Urias comes with that flexibility that I think then allows you to be a little bit more stable with mm-hmm. a Dubon who has been very good defensively, but he's also giving you a little bit of a bat as well.
Right,
too.
So as I said, say hello to the small ball Astros. Now, I'm not saying they're going complete, down that path. But I think what I like about this trade, and I do like what the Astros are doing, not necessarily just this trade. I think they're embracing what they're transforming into. And there's another reason, there's several other reasons for that. They obviously, who knows with Yordan. Jeremy Pena's coming back. I would expect him in tomorrow's lineup with Boston.
Home run yesterday for Sugarland.
He did.
Shout out to the man. We back, baby, we back.
You got flexibility with Dubon. You can play Urias at third base. So you've got a pretty good defensive infield. That's we've seen tendencies even trying to manufacture runs with the Astros here of late. I like it because I think they're embracing kind of what they are now without the big power hitting, without a lot of extra base hitters necessarily, etc. And then there's this, the other pitcher that they're involved with, apparently pretty deep into conversations, is Sandy Alcantara. Alcantara, if you
there
want
you
to
go.
Say it like that.
Thank you. The stance on this show is, if possible,
put jelly on it.
Put the sauce on it.
Yeah,
he ain't gonna do it all the time, though.
I'm gonna hold him to the fire. You've noticed that when he does it, I'm like, oh, you ain't
you might do it more than him.
Yeah,
that's right. Because I'm trying to set the standard here.
He is a ground ball machine. He is a ground ball. So what they're doing here is they're like, all right, what are we? Let's see if we can get a ground ball pitcher. Now, over the last 2 or 3 years, he's been way above average in terms of producing ground balls. A little bit down this year, but still producing a lot of ground balls. And
there's a little bit down this year for Sandy this year.
Yeah, there is. But maybe they can sprinkle some of that Kikuchi pixie dust on him. And
I'm sorry, I'm a child. I apologize.
Sprinkle a little bit of Kikuchi pixie dust, which who doesn't like that? But anyway, you're going to be able to enforce more, start more ground ball, have more ground balls. With Fromber, who's a big-time ground ball pitcher. And then you have Hunter Brown, who's a little bit of everything. So you're bringing in a pitcher who can induce ground balls. You're helping your defense. You are a small ball team. And I think that's a good thing. You're embracing what you are now without the Yordans and all that stuff.
Can you be a World Series champion as exclusively a small ball team? Like,
I don't think they're necessarily exclusive. I think they're embracing, you know, kind of their tendencies.
But this is the whole idea coming into the trade deadline is, hey, you need a bat. Mm-hmm. Urias is not that bat. And then, as you've highlighted, they, whether it's Cease, whether it's Alcantara, they continue to look towards mm-hmm. a ace-type pitcher when it comes to the trade deadline. I know that there's an idea that they still would be interested in a bat, but I do wonder, again, how far they can stretch the assets that they have in acquisition. And so it feels like the priority is, again, we have somebody that kind of helps us a little bit mm-hmm. defensively, which I think is a good thing. I'm not batting in an eye at that or being mad about that. Mm-hmm. But then it seems like the next priority after they got Urias across the line, an easier one to score on, is pitching.
Yeah.
But that feels like you're leaning into whatever we have hitting wise, which again, at earlier points when you were a little healthier, also was a place that we were looking at as average to slightly below average. Is that leaning into the idea of, well, we're just going to try and generate runs on a small level and just beat teams with pitching and defense without having like the high end offensive output, 9-1 result yesterday, be damned. Like, is that a winning formula for what they're trying to do? Because they are trying to win. Like, you don't go into this deadline as buyers with all the injuries and with the place that you are in the window continuing to use more assets if you're not trying to go and win and bring home hardware.
I think what they're doing is kind of a combo of what you just said. They still have guys that can drive in runs. They still have guys that can hit home runs. They just don't have as many of them. They just don't have as many of them. So, nobody's going to say no to a six-run inning. With two home runs in there. But what they are doing, and this is another reason I'm thinking, all right, I see them working and I like it. You know, another couple of players that they're connected to with the Cardinals are big, big on-base percentage guys, which leads in, again, to the, if we're going to have to manufacture some runs here and there, let's do it. What's his name? Lars Nootbaar.
That's correct.
Lars Nootbaar and Alec Burleson. Nootbaar apparently, and I just saw this when I was reading up on him. You probably have all that fancy, data machine in front of you.
I love that you know me.
Like his on base percent, he's a guy that gets on base, walks, whatever it is, and that's another. So you combo, Urias, a pitcher that induces ground balls if they do somehow get Alcantara, and then another outfielder that can get on base. I think what they're doing is like, hey, we're going to try to drive in runs. But if we, in those situations where we have to manufacture runs, we're going to have guys that can do that.
And I'm not upset with that. I like that as a perspective. I hope that they don't, again, I just hope that they don't sacrifice getting another bat in here mm-hmm. for, yes, we need another high-end pitcher, which, again, I understand. This team has won at high levels. They've competed and won pennants and won World Series with pitching being a forward-facing portion of what they're doing. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Offense, name of the game is getting runs across, man. And so, like, I do think that I need to see what they add. And, I don't want that to go by the wayside. But I will say, mm-hmm. with all the reporting that we've gotten, and there's a lot of it that's flying fast and furious, and we'll try and keep up with it as we continue through the program, as 5 p.m. is when the trade deadline hits today on this deadline day, I'm not in on Correa anymore. I think I'm very much out on it, especially defensively. Seeing the idea of a Lars Nootbaar on there, which again, he's not swinging the bat incredibly at .227.
But what are his fantasy
average
numbers?
.713 on base on OPS.
That's what I'm saying.
And he is a good defender as well. I think that you put him in this. Mm-hmm. He's a left-handed bat, an outfielder that helps you kind of mm-hmm. limit some of these things. Cam Smith has played the most games that he's ever played in a singular season of baseball. Yeah. Like, I think that is actually, that strikes me as stronger and more important for what you're doing than Carlos Correa coming in with whatever offense he brings and whatever nostalgia he brings with the defensive question marks that he has, especially mm-hmm. as you're establishing yourself a small ball team that's going to be able to defend better. He actually doesn't fit in what you're talking about as a kind of motif for this Astros team moving forward.
Not this year. So I like it.
And you talk about not this year. He also creates then more bigger problems years in the future because he's either a third baseman mm-hmm. or a shortstop or I don't even know how much you feel comfortable moving him to second base or even Isak Paredes to second base should he actually mm-hmm. return on time, which we have to talk about that because we haven't at this point yet.
Yeah.
But you have Isak Paredes who should be your third baseman moving forward. You do need to have an answer at second base, but your shortstop is accounted for. Like, I think that you create even bigger problems for yourself bringing in Correa, and I don't know how that he solves nearly enough problems for you in this season.
Yeah, and, I see him working, and I like what I'm seeing. But you're right. Yeah, you are right. There are some issues that maybe with Correa. They are. Let's update some people on some not so great stuff that's happening. Some not so great stuff that's happening around the Astros.
How highly do you put this as a not so great thing? As you can always go home as a mantra I believe strongly in. And Eugenio Suarez was traded from the Diamondbacks back to the Seattle Mariners.
That's one of them I was going to say.
Do you think that that's not so great? Because, I mean, obviously the bat's been very good. Defense hasn't been all that great for him. Yeah. But that's a Mariners team that that is looking at you in the rearview mirror, or that you are looking at in the rearview mirror.
Yeah, that to me was a not so great thing. You're right. There are instances where you can't go home again, but he's having an enormous year, man. And the Mariners, they're making their run. They made the big swing here. Eugenio Suarez is what, 37 home runs, something like that, that he's got right now, and killing it. He gives Cal Raleigh some protection. The Mariners, that's one of the things that I'm saying, like, yeah, that's not so great. While the Astros, another one, the Rangers and Mariners, I haven't really seen a whole lot on the Rangers. I think they made one small deal. But you start talking about American League and some of the things going on. The Mariners are right there, and they feel it right now. And they're not done yet. They're in on Willie Castro, a switch hitter that has been getting some run here. And then the other thing, and this just made me, I don't know how significant it's going to be right now, but if the postseason happens, good Lord, the Yankees are in on Mason Miller from the A's, reportedly.
I would like to fight Fisher, the owner of the A's. Like, I'm not talking about I'm mad at him. I would like to engage in fisticuffs with him. I disagree so strongly with his kind of style and a mantra when it comes to owning a baseball team.
Yeah.
And I really hate that baseball has supported him in this preposterous move to Las Vegas. Like, that's going to change who he is. Again, you have one of, if not the best, relievers in all of baseball.
He's a stud, man.
He still has 4 years of arbitration.
4 years like, of arbitration. Yeah.
Why are you trading him?
Dude throws 104.
Because they don't want to pay, even when they spend a little bit of money. Yeah. And they found gems. Mm-hmm. They still like,
at least let the brother go to Vegas with y'all.
Well, but I don't know when A's they're going to get to Vegas. Are they?
The A's could be good if they just start building around this young talent that they have arbitration years on.
Baseball does not deserve an ownership like that man Fisher out there.
And one more thing that's not so great. I was kind of high on Dylan Cease. Apparently those talks have cooled unless something has happened here in the next few minutes.
That one makes sense, though. Mm-hmm. We were talking about this yesterday. Mm-hmm. What do the Astros have that the Padres want?
Right.
Like, maybe if you're looking at it from you would want to get a ace type pitcher for the Astros. All right.
Cool.
I don't necessarily
know. Who doesn't want that?
That sounds great. Whatever you go to the store and I want a MacBook Air or whatever.
Yeah.
Do I got the money that the store ultimately wants to trade me for that? You don't have the capital that the Padres want. That's a very good baseball team that wants guys that are going to help them, you know, contend in a better way this season. You can't afford to spare none of those.
Can't do it.
I ain't got it to spare.
It's like when you're in the grocery line. And all of a sudden, you realize, well, I don't got that. You got to start taking stuff off.
Let me know when I get the $50.
Yeah, we've all done that.
Are you? Question.
Yeah.
Are you the person that actually goes and puts the thing back in the?
No, I just said it on the side.
I knew it. I
just said it. I just said it on the
jerk.
Side. They have people that do that.
That's not their whole responsibility. They got to get off what they doing right now.
Don't to go and like put your stuff back.
I haven't. I take my stuff back.
Lopez said a big old thing of brisket right there with the candy
right
bars.
Right there on the gum.
No, I don't need these chicken wings. Yeah. I put them back right here.
Just dripping all over the Reese's Pieces.
Next person's like, do I want Reese's Pieces, gummies, Starburst, or a brisket?
Who put this brisket right here?
Or a brisket.
No, somebody right behind. Who put this brisket right here?
And then the secondary portion of that is now some poor cashier has to be like, hey, this brisket was marked as 99 cents. Like, no, what? You know damn well that's not where that goes.
What jackass put this brisket right here?
Right here.
Did you want to give the update that you saw on Isak Paredes?
That's the other one.
We were here laughing, and then here we go. Now there's the sadness.
The other not so great thing that we have to update people on here with the Astros. Isak Paredes, 6 to 7 months, reportedly, by Bob Nightingale. Apparently, it is a torn, and I speculated on this. It had all the markings of surgery, man. It had all the markings of surgery. Well, now he's getting a second, parentheses, better opinion, he's trying to find. 6 to 7 months. They hope to have him available for the start of 2026.
Whew, okay. Well, that's going to be a conversation that we have to have very soon. Today, though, is a deadline day. So we will be watching in that space to see what we ultimately get for your Houston Astros as they try and make themselves a more formidable foe and contend for a pennant and hopefully a World Series in the AL. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Oh, there is some deadline day movings. We were talking about Mason Miller. We were talking about the Padres. Why not combine them? Mason Miller is acquired by the Padres, and it seems like they also acquired J.P. Sears, a starter as well.
Wow.
The Padres really.
Wow.
Shout out to y'all being over there in the NL. Don't talk to me about that.
And now the Astros putting two briskets on the.
You know, nah, let me just take this whole car, set it to the side, and walk out with nothing.
You know, yes. You know what? I wasn't even trying to go shopping today.
You know what? Right. Let me set this full cart over to the side, just leave.
That's right. We out. We're out.
All right. I did that a couple times before because I left my car and I ain't had no money to pay.
That one hurts.
Yes. I'm like, I'm sorry. I had to leave this to the side and go get my money.
I keep that pay by phone, like, you know, the Apple Pay or what have you. Mm-hmm. I keep that on my phone. Just
this was before Apple Pay days, oh, by the way. Yeah. This was about around 09.
Yes, you just be thinking to yourself, can I run home real quick and come back and pay for this? All right.
Can you leave this cart right here? I'll be back.
Yeah, 6-3.
Put your head down, just walk out.
Yeah, 6-3-1, get after him. Come on, Lopez, put it back. Don't make some 16-year-old
do it. They're acting like they've never done it. They just admitted they did.
Nobody does that.
Figgy did. He said he put the whole cart on the side.
Well, I couldn't pay for it. Well, I'm gonna go around the store like a supermarket sweep and just put everything
back.
That's
my point.
I had to leave it.
That's my point.
That's even more. Y'all both wrong for that. I personally am never, because I'm a good person. Yeah. All right, coming up next, of all the players on the physically unable to perform list and the non-football injury list, which one's hurting the Texans the most right now? Which one's hurting them least? And who would you like to see back at full strength? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about the Texans on an off day during training camp.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. About to talk a little bit more about the Texans, who have the day off before they get back to work tomorrow for training camp 2025. We were just talking about leaving stuff at the store, not taking it back to its particular place from the 832. It's creating jobs for those workers in those stores. When you leave stuff at the register, AI can't return that.
Not a baby.
It's not create. Those stores are not hiring more people to put those back. They're just making the skeleton crew that they have right now work harder.
They barely got baggy people there now, man.
It's true.
Yeah, they barely got cashiers.
Yeah, no doubt. Somebody else texted, I bet Lopez doesn't put his cart up.
Bet you
here.
Don't.
Dude, I am so anal about it. I answered him. I think I've said this on the air. There are two types of people in this world, if you want to get right down to it. People who put their carts up in the parking lot and a-holes. I am anal about that. But, you know, hey, you know, if you're at the cart, you got to put something on the side.
Yeah. But a brisket at the battery rack, that's fine. Okay. All right.
That's different.
Look, people are not people are not always entirely logical, and I'm learning that even more so about you here, Lopez. I appreciate that. All right. Again, I mentioned Texans day off, but training camp continues to roll on. They'll be back out there at the Houston Methodist Training Center tomorrow. We'll be, of course, out there. We'll talk to Callan Hanna.
How about that?
That'll be a fun conversation to be had tomorrow.
Can't make a lot of promises, but I can promise that. it'll be fun.
That is true. And of course, we'll talk to somebody right off of the training or off of the practice field as well, as we have always been able to do all training camp long. But there's a number of guys that we haven't been able to talk about, haven't been able to see for this Texans team because they are on the physically unable to perform list or the non-football injury list. Which one of those guys? Which one of those hurts this team the most? Which of them hurts the least, Lopez?
Well, let's go through the list. I think I've got it all right here. Correct me if I'm wrong, because you're better at this. On the PUP list, Tank Dell, Danico Autry, Derek Barnett, Trent Brown, Folu Farakasi, Kurt Heinisch, Damian Pierce, Jimmy Ward. NFI.
Tank isn't on the PUP list. I think he's just straight up injured reserve.
Well, but for these purposes, for these purposes. And then NFI Joe Mixon. So of all those names.
Oh, wow. Elijah Huzzy. He said, bleep him, huh?
Okay. Yeah, Elijah Huzzy's on there too.
You see that thing? He's just like, I don't care.
Sorry, Elijah.
Put him on the battery rack. I ain't going to take him all the way back to the meat session.
I took him off the grocery belt. of all those names, I started thinking about this. You know, as we see practice and we're 7 days in, going to be eight tomorrow of practice. Like, which one do you think could hurt this team the most? I'm going to ask you first before I give you my answer. Figure you two, because and maybe one that won't hurt as much. Keep in mind, of those players, five were starters last year.
There's two that come to mind. I think you know the way that I think a little bit at this point, and it's usually not simply on the primary thing. It's kind of the secondary thing that'll move me. And the two names that came to mind for me were Trent Brown and Damian Pierce, which is funny because I don't know that of the guys on that list, those are the guys that I feel the strongest about.
Right.
But I think I feel the strongest about the position battles that they would be in if they were out here practicing. And Damian Pierce is very clear. You guys know the kind of hesitations and trepidations I have with Nick Chubb, while also still appreciating who he is and the fact that he's there and the knowledge that he has in running the football and the strength and the physicality that he will inevitably produce. With Joe Mixon, again, with the injuries that he's dealing with, not saying that he won't be there when you get to that time, but the questions that are there, Damian Pierce being out there and competing and maybe even pushing Nick Chubb, because again, competition is the watchword for this training camp. Not being there to do that is kind of concerning. Now, of course, it gives more opportunity for Woody Marks, for Jawar Jordan, guys who I like and I want to see more of to do things. I still think that, hey, that would be more competition, which I think would push that space. And
what about
hurts
the
better.
Least?
But then, and Trent Brown, I wanted to mention though, because again, offensive line, we talked about it. The whole idea was that competition was going to raise the boats, not necessarily that they had brought in a whole bunch of great talent. Ursary feels like he's at right tackle, but correct me if you think I'm wrong. That almost feels like default more about Blake Fisher maybe not stepping up than Ariante playing at a crazy high level.
Maybe both. I think they've been pretty impressed with Ursary. I think because he's gotten more reps.
He has.
And maybe it is, and I'm the guy that has not been high on Blake Fisher, but I'm just trying to be fair here. It might be both. What about you, Figgy? The players that hurt the most in the league.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you talking about just the PUP list or just
and NFI?
Oh, okay.
Well, sorry, I didn't mention Joe Mixon.
I was going to say Joe Mixon because I feel like if he's not ready to go, then I know how Reggie would feel about this, but you might be depending on the Nick Chubb for the first couple games or whatever. So I I'm a little worried about that. And plus, I guess I got to throw in Damian Pierce too. Like, so you rolling with Nick Chubb and Woody Marks?
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's, and I'm a Nick Chubb guy, so I just don't know how much I will feel about that one. But yeah,
Is it weird that I think Tank Dell? And here's my
as least or as hurts the most.
Okay. As high as we are on Higgins, Jalen Knowles had a good camp. Christian Kirk is in. If you had Kirk, you know, assuming Kirk would still be here, but still, let's say you had Kirk, Dell and Nico, and with Tank Dell's precise route running and this offense, I would feel so, because there are some unknowns. We're high on those guys.
Yeah, they're rookies,
but they're rookies and they're unknowns. And Tank is a proven commodity. I think the one that might hurt the most right now, anyway, because it could change. You know, once we start seeing these guys maybe perform and produce, I'm gonna lean Tank Dell.
There's a camaraderie that he already has established with CJ Stroud as well. I hear you on that. The problem with, before I get to any other wide receivers, and again, I know that you have at least one, but I feel comfortable about two before we even get to like where you are with tight end, that I think will be productive for your quarterback. Mm-hmm. We talk clearly Nico Collins, one of the best wide receivers in the league, in my personal opinion. And then Christian Kirk, who is a consummate professional who knows how to do his role and I think will be very vital. You got to keep CJ upright. And I think that competition, the offensive line, continues to loom large for me, which is why I would hope that a Trent Brown would at least be able to be out there if you could have gotten him out there. When you talk about least, and it's, again, same feeling. I feel so confident about the position group that I don't worry about it. Derek Barnett.
That's fair.
Like, Derek Barnett. I don't worry about him because, one, 51, 55, they are going to meet at the quarterback consistently. Mm-hmm. And then when you sub them out, you have a number of guys that I also still feel comfortable about rushing the quarterback. But then also, once Derek Barnett does hit the field, he is such a pro himself that I know that he's not hurting for this time. He will step in and be able to do the things that he does at a consistent manner, regardless of when it is. So I feel that was the one that I feel the least concerned about.
The one I feel the least concerned about is probably Jimmy Ward.
Me too.
Because I feel like they're pretty loaded at that secondary position, and he kind of had a tough year last year, man. It seemed like you always saw the back of his jersey at some point. And I think it's a good thing to have him there, but I don't think we would be sitting there like, man, we need Jimmy Ward back.
I'm with you.
I think he's getting a little
old. Has nothing to do with anything that's happened with Jimmy Ward. I feel J-Rock and Jay Reed and obviously Gardner Johnson, who you're going to hear from today, by the way. I'm with you. I think Jimmy Ward, not that I wouldn't appreciate it, but worried the least.
I kind of disagree.
Yeah.
I kind of disagree. Like, as much as I feel like he was very helpful, especially in a very particular sense, in the particular role that Jalen Petrie exists in. Mm-hmm. And the depth behind him, Arthur Millett is supposed to be that guy.
Yeah.
As of yesterday, what color was the jersey that Arthur Millett
was wearing?
That was red. That's a non-contact jersey. He still has not been able to get out here and do the work for that position. You brought him in. He did not have the benefit of mini camp or any of that. Or OTA, so he's jumping in camp, and he hasn't been able to be physical in that space, which is a position that needs a level of physicality. Not saying that they won't have a guy that can step in and maybe do that, but, you know, Jimmy Ward is a guy who has played that position, and he jumped in very admirably when Petrie got hurt last season. Mm-hmm. I would feel a little bit more comfortable if Jimmy Ward was available for you in this time period, because that secondary, you know, that backup role to Petrie is currently in a place where I think you have somebody penciled in, but I'm not certain of the play that you get when that person has to step in.
Why'd they bring in Mollett to do that role? And he's an experienced guy. And by the way, Jimmy Ward is on the record as he doesn't really like playing nickel.
No.
Yeah.
But he don't got to like it to be good at it. And he has been good at it. And I think more than anything, Jimmy Ward is a professional enough to be like, I don't like it. However, if this is what it takes to win, then that's what we'll do. Which again, I think actually you could take, you can run that up the chain to the top when you talk about D'Amico, when you talk about Nico. But I think more D'Amico, just because he is a guy that has established the culture more than anything. And that culture is, we do what we need to win. Yeah. There are some things that we like. There are some things that we don't like. And they've done a good job of like thanking like a Titus Howard for doing a thing that we know that you did not like at a point for the betterment of the team. But the guys are ultimately going to do that. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why I feel that way about Jimmy Ward. Somebody said, is Jimmy Ward in any trouble with the law? Oh, baby. he was arrested in Montgomery County. How long ago was that at this point?
About a month ago.
Yeah. We're still waiting on some level of resolution, and the team knows, and they're just kind of waiting for the legal process to take its toll. But it was a domestic situation where I think the allegations stemmed around potential of like choking.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what ultimately the legal system comes with. To that end, all we have is what we got in that immediate first, 48 hours of you know, information when it came to the arrest report, and then obviously him making bail. Actually, that was over after the weekend, wasn't it? And so that's all we still have in that space. And for the time being, we just continue to wait. He's out. He reported. He just has not been doing anything with the team to this point. All right, mm-hmm. You're in the loop. Here we go on a Sports Radio 610-832. Good point, Christian Harris. But Christian Harris isn't on these lists. That's the thing that makes it the most weird about Christian Harris, because his presence would be very important. They seem to be continually operating in such a way where they go, if he comes out and helps, that's cool. Or when he comes out and helps, that's cool. To that point, we have what we need to be able to do what we need to do. All right, coming up next, let's get to our question of the day. I don't know if you saw this, but the Ravens put in a pool, and some of them Ravens can't swim. So they're like, hey, we need Michael Phelps to come out here and teach us how to swim, which it seems like he will do. But that got us thinking, what's something basic that you just can't do? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about it next. Actually, an off day, big voice, man. We are in studio talking about all things Houston sports on your Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. That's John Lopez. I'm Reginald Atatula. Figgy Fig hanging out with you. As I mentioned, Texans getting a day off after 3 straight days of padded practice. And they'll be back at it tomorrow again, getting work in to make the 2025 season the best possible season for the Texans. But right now, we do what we typically do in this time, which is the question of the day. And inspired by the Baltimore Ravens, who apparently this offseason added a pool to their training facilities, like a swimming pool. Mm-hmm. I imagine they had like a cold tub and those types of things, but a swimming pool. And of course, this raised the occasion for people to look up and go, hey, can y'all swim? And there's a number of Ravens that were like, nah, fam.
No, we can't.
Can't. But I'll swim if you get Michael Phelps out here to teach us.
Yeah.
And apparently that's going to happen.
Oh, it is. That's the update. I saw the video when they were asking if Phelps would do it.
You know Phelps is a Baltimore guy, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a day later he responded to a post on Instagram that Marlon Humphrey Mumphrey put up, which was, we got a problem only Michael Phelps can fix.
Mm-hmm.
From the hashtag Ravens aquatics team. And Michael Phelps said, I got y'all, let's do it. So apparently he will actually do this. But that did raise the question, what's something that you just can't, something simple, something basic that you just can't do?
I got a couple, but
713-572-4610.
Real quick on that point, how successful do you think Michael Phelps will be teaching these guys how to swim?
I don't know, because I've had this kind of general thought that the folks who are the best at things might be the worst teachers.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes.
And it's I don't know that it's like the strongest logic when we talk about like sports, but it feels like you never get the elite guys that come back and actually work as coaches.
But doesn't that fit, you know, more with like at a high level, but like just teaching them how to swim, the basics of swimming? You know, he's not teaching them to be Olympians or competitive, but just survive.
But, you know, his skills are swimming really good. Yeah. I don't know if his skills are teaching. Like, those are different skills. I think we would all agree.
Yeah.
And we'll see if that works. Hopefully it does for him, because that'd be really cool. And at the very worst, at least they'll be able to hang out with Michael Phelps.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I was like, I don't know if that'll actually go
well. We'll see. So, basic tasks. There's two
plus, those are really big, muscly bodies. I feel like those are just Acme weights, anvils that you're throwing into the water.
Yeah, the old fast twitch versus slow twitch muscles, you know, and then who knows how that's going to jibe. But a texter texted one of mine, and I'm like, yep. It was so frustrating as a kid. As an adult, when my kids went, I would just kind of like knock-kneed, make my way roller skating.
Are you for real?
I can't roller skate. I mean, I've been out there multiple times, and I can go straight. And occasionally turn if I really concentrate. But, like, you know, the old roller skating rink, I always wanted to do that, man. They're playing the music.
Yeah, you a funk guy, too.
Yeah.
Wait, how can you?
You missed out a lot, man.
I missed out
man.
On a lot,
you
man.
Was you probably went to the roller skate parties, but was
no,
sitting on
I
the
would
side.
Go there, but I would embarrass myself. I would
really?
You know how you kind of, like, just hold your legs together and sort of just rotate them back and forth.
Oh, you was just statuing your way around.
I'm sitting there.
But then there's these guys
like
going
Monster.
Backwards and bouncing, and they're playing, like you said, all the funk music, and I'm bouncing my head and not going anywhere.
That is surprising, because I feel like if you can get the rhythm of the music, that'll kind of inspire you to get around and skate a little bit as well.
I can ski. I can, you know.
You can ice skate.
Ice skate. Which is the most bizarre part
of
it all.
Yeah, how you got ice skate, but you can't roller skate?
I can ice skate, but I can't roller skate. Something about those quad wheels, man. I don't know what it is. Maybe I need to get the inline and try that.
Yeah. Yeah, but the inline don't work for what you're trying to do. you're not X gaming it out here to some of the music that you will roll bounce to. So, yeah, no, that's sad.
I wish
sad.
I could roller skate.
I feel bad for you because I can see it in your eyes.
It was my wheelhouse.
I can see it
in your eyes. Yeah, it was my wheelhouse.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You missed out a lot, man. You could have got so many girls, man, roller skate.
That is a great point.
Yeah.
Like, that's one of them skills that... They like
you get the hose if you can roller skate.
They do enjoy that particular skill. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
This is one that I just can't understand why, and it upsets me for a reason that to a degree that it really shouldn't because it's so small. I can snap with my left hand.
Can't snap with my right hand. Your fingers.
Can't snap with my right hand. I can snap with my left hand. Easy. Right hand just doesn't happen. It's so dumb. Like, it should be able to work the same on both. Nope. Never been able to make it happen on the right hand. It's the dumbest thing in the world.
So one of mine is clear. We talked about it on the station, how I can't swim, and I don't care to learn at this age. But it's kind of similar to Lopez a little bit. So I can skate on rollerblades. But it's a little tough for me to skate on roller skates.
The quads.
Oh, so we need to get somebody in here to teach both of y'all.
No, I
can do it, but I'm not as smooth with it.
I'm not smooth.
So I could go around. I could kind of do a little shoulder shake.
Yeah.
But I'm way better on the rollerblades.
Yeah, you're not doing the which backwards and the spins and all that stuff.
Yeah, like on because a lot of people can't do rollerblades, the ones that's four in the middle.
Yeah.
A lot of people can't skate on that, but I could do that better.
That's
kind of
like me. Yeah.
Who's the Michael Phelps of roller skating? Because we need to get them. We need to put them, send up the bat signal and see if they'll come through for us.
The guy that was in the Olympics from Houston from spring, Chad.
Mm-hmm.
Chad.
Yep. I don't know if you expected me to
fix this. Man, Chad.
Somebody said, what about walking and chewing gum? I can do that. And that's the thing is I'm generally, and this is going to sound like toot my own horn.
Chad Hedrick.
Thank you. I appreciate you. I'm generally pretty good at a decent amount of stuff, like at least on a very basic level. It's just that this one little thing, and it's snapping on the right hand. It's that it'll get me every time. Some other ones that have come in, somebody said, never been able to tie a balloon. Don't know why.
That's an interesting one. That's a very interesting one. I
got one similar to that. Remember back in the day, people used to suck on the helium?
And
they used to make that.
Yeah.
I could never do that.
You just talk. It just happens.
See, this is what Michael Phelps is going to be doing in the rain. So what you do is you get in here and you swim.
And you just swim. Oh, okay. Thank you,
So you
Michael.
Get in the pool and you float. How do I do that? You just float.
You just float.
You lay there and you float. I don't know how to do that, Michael. I'm going to drown. No, you float.
Now, the one thing, this one didn't bother me as much because for a number of reasons as not being able to roller skate. But I can whistle, you know, like that. But I always wanted to, you know, the loud whistle.
Oh, man, the ones that be super loud.
The super loud whistle.
Maybe at the games. Like,
can y'all do that?
I cannot do that.
Can you do that?
I can. I've got a very simple, like, Andy Griffith whistle.
Regular
whistle.
That I can
do, yeah.
But I've always wanted to go, you know, real loud.
Hey, that's why.
I don't know how people do it.
That's why I keep a Fox 40 on me if I need that. You know what I mean? If I'm going to be whistling, you're going to hear me. This is going to be a loud one. It's going to sound like I'm calling a personal foul right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Some other ones that have come in on the text line. Somebody said, it took me until I was 35 to be able to snap my fingers with my left hand at all.
That's
10 years later, still much better with my right. Yeah. See, maybe I need to just work harder. Maybe that just needs to be a daily thing for me. Some other ones have come in. Somebody said, let me see. They said they had it a unicycle when they were a kid, but can you not ride a bike? Is that what's happening here? Because that'd be hilarious if you can't ride two wheels, but the one wheel is fine.
That reminds me of something else, Figgy. Let me ask you this, because I can't, as we said, can't roller skate it, but I can skateboard. I used to skateboard a lot, which again I never figured out.
Yeah,
I could skateboard, but I couldn't roller skate. I just can't.
Yeah, I can't skateboard.
Yeah, well, I haven't done it. 35, 40 years, but still.
One thing I could not do as a kid, and a lot of kids used to do it, pop a wheelie on the bike. I could never do it, man.
Just real quick.
People used to just be on one wheel, just pedaling all for miles and miles. I could never do that.
Oh, this is a great answer. You might be the leader in the clubhouse 8 through 2. Took them until they were 38 to learn how to swallow pills.
Oh, a lot of people to this day.
Yeah. That is amazing to me.
I think my wife got to swallow one pill at a time. I could take like three or four
handful,
pills.
Yeah. I do the whole handful, sometimes without water, which is not recommended, but.
All right, now you're showing off.
If I'm in a hurry.
Showing off. Save that sound for me.
You're a maniac.
Somebody said, always wanted to learn how to yo-yo. Yeah. Yeah, the people that, this is the thing about yo-yo. Like, if you are okay, not impressive at all.
Mm-hmm.
If you're pretty good, you're not very impressive. When you are great, you're like, hey, yo, this dude is a magician. What is happening right here? What am I looking at?
Yeah.
This is incredible.
Here's another good one. And one of my sons. Can't tie a necktie.
See, this one I will actually judge you
here.
For. I'm going to be honest.
Here. You can't tie a necktie. Oh, I've done your tie before.
Yeah, yeah.
I've tied a tie
I did get better with it because I started watching more YouTube videos on how to do it. So the last couple times I did it on my own, but I never needed the necktie.
One of my sons, hey, Dad, can you?
The thing is.
Hey, that reflects kind of badly on you.
See, I think this is generational, man, because my dad didn't know how to tie a necktie. I don't think he ever wore a necktie.
Yeah.
And then I don't think his dad wore a necktie.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a generational thing
maybe,
with us.
Maybe so.
I always had to tie all the ties on my basketball team because we had to dress up on game days.
Yeah, maybe that's what we did, too. Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. I was judging all them jokers. Didn't make me a good person, but I was doing it.
That's kind of weird. You all close to him. All right, hold your neck.
Oh, no, I wasn't doing that. No. I was doing the thing where I'll tie it on me. I'll loosen it.
Yeah, that's what I do.
And then you just slide it on. I'm not tying your tie like I'm your wife or something.
Yeah, hold your neck up a little bit.
All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's go around the NFL because I know you want to know who the top 100 players of the day are. But also, CBS has released their 2025 broadcast crew depth chart. Where's J.J. Watt and how long before he becomes the 18? We'll talk about that next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.